Jesus command people to be healed, he gave his apostles the same authority to do the same works that he did. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If Jesus said that, then he meant it. So it's a command. And we need to get that truth firmly fixed in our minds, because if we don't, then we begin to vacillate and we halt between two opinions. It's in the name of Jesus we command healing to take place and devils to leave. Now, no more excuses. You know, we've got all kinds of excuses we've invented. We can command healing by speaking to the infirmity, those damaged parts of our bodies, and ask God to restore them. For example, Jesus heals this lame man at the pool of Bethesda. This man is sitting by the pool year after year, waiting for someone to make something happen for him. He's waiting for someone else to take the responsibility. He made excuses in his ignorance of what he could accomplish. The man had been crippled for 38 years. And Jesus, noting the length of this man's condition, asked him, "Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to?" Jesus challenged the man's mentality and the paradigm that concerned his condition and challenged him, "Do you want to be well?" In addition, Jesus was assessing the man's heart and assessing the man's motives. There are people who want to be healed, and they say they believe that God's going to heal them, but they really don't believe what they're saying. Jesus was addressing the matters of his heart, what was on his mind. 38 years is a long time. It's hard to believe that he wanted to be well. He may have wanted healing, but Jesus wanted him to change his thinking about being healed. The sick man replied to Jesus' question, "Sir," this is how he replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." He was trying and made excuses for never getting to the place of his healing. The word Bethesda in the Hebrew means house of mercy. House of mercy. The Lord's house is to become a place of mercy and healing. Do you hear that? That's who we're supposed to be, where anyone from any background can walk through the doors of our church and find healing, a place of mercy and health. The house of the Lord becomes a healing pool, releases mercy of the Lord, releases the supernatural of the Lord, the raw power of God through yielded vessels. It's the place of mercy where God desires to bring his people. He wants people to come to the house of mercy. Then the Lord creates the supernatural in his house. So the sick man was waiting for someone to help him into the jacuzzi. It's easy to blame others for our condition, right? Rather than taking ownership in order to receive what the Father wants to give us. And the man spent many, many years waiting on someone else, just like many of God's people today are waiting for others to help and relieve them from the struggle and the difficulty that they're in. I believe that what we're waiting for is already inside of us through the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who resides in each of us. It is the greater one that resides in us. People blame others for their pain or sickness or disease and suffering, and they're in this particular place or this situation. God wants us to remove the excuses so we can rise up and take up our own bed and pick up our own condition. Jesus challenged the man's will and challenged his decisions. The Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. It doesn't say that faith without other people's faith is dead. We have to give faith work to do in order for it to come alive. We have to employ our faith in order to see healing or miracles take place. Jesus challenges the conditions of our mindset and makes us personally responsible to go to him in faith believing his word so a miracle can be released. Healing mindset is what Jesus is talking about to this man. Healing engages our mind and faith in God's word to do what faith in God can do. We have to exercise our will in order for faith to work. We can't just wish it. We've got to act on it. And before Jesus could address the man's physical condition, he first addressed the man's will. Do you want to? Then Jesus addressed his view concerning healing and the power of God. And he questioned him, do you want to be made whole? Jesus wanted to confront the man in his doubting and in his thinking, not just to have his physical condition healed. God desires us to be transformed by his word and the power of his word. The man needed to know the mind and the heart of Jesus. Jesus was trying to reveal himself to this guy and trying to show him this is where this can go. Not only you can be healed, you need to be whole, not just healed. He needed to change his mind before his condition could change. We can't wait on others for our healing breakthrough or blame others for not receiving our breakthrough. We have to look within ourselves, take responsibility for our own condition, and make this faith determination to rise up and walk by the purpose of the will of God. Jesus healed the sick man at the pool of Bethesda. He said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Jesus commanded his healing by causing the man to make a decision and act on it in faith, to respond in obedience. Jesus never prayed for him. Jesus did not pick him up and put him into the water. Jesus challenged his faith and his thinking. We have to change our mindset and believe the word of God. Our condition doesn't dictate our healing. Our faith dictates our condition and brings about our healing and our deliverance. The man received divine healing following the commands of Jesus and was strengthened when he obeyed them, and he was healed instantaneously, absolutely, and completely. Command your condition. Jesus' first command to the lame man was, rise. Man, can you imagine God looking at you and your condition and saying to you, rise, and you haven't walked in 38 years? You haven't taken a step? Rise. The Greek word, egiadro, which basically means arouse from the sleep of death. Get out of your circumstance of death. In other words, the man needed to awaken from the dead. He was dead spiritually, emotionally, and soon he was going to be physically dead. And he needed personal renewal in his life. Jesus' command was not based on the impotent sick man's ability in his crippledness and his paralyzed condition. It was based on the life-changing, life-altering, life-giving antidote given to the man in the strength of God's word to him, rise. And the impotent man needed spiritual therapy that came as a result of the command of Jesus spoken to him. He was in that condition so long, it might have been so difficult for him to even recondition himself, to think about, get up. I haven't walked in 38 years. I don't have any muscle strength in my lower extremities. I would have to practice. I would have to go to therapy, you know, for weeks and get rehab. No, it was instantaneous. When God does something, man, it absolutely is jaw-dropping. Amen? He had to visualize his healing through confronting his present condition with present truth, the truth of God's spoken word, the now truth, I'm going to be healed right now. He was looking for man's help, but he needed help through the word of the living God. And the ability to be healed was not in man, but in the ability to obey Jesus' healing command. That's where the healing took place. It wasn't in relying on someone to pick him up and drop him in the water. It was obedience to what God said to him. In another of Jesus' healings, he commands the man with the withered hand, who's there and present among believers who are trusting God, and he can't even take it out. He's so embarrassed over the condition of his hand. And what did Jesus say to him? Stretch out your hand. Stretch it out. Now think about this. The man has no more ability to control that forearm and that hand. It's absolutely atrophied. He can't use it any longer. Jesus looks at him and says, stretch out your hand. Obey what I'm saying to you, right? When he did, the man was restored and his hand and mobility was whole again. Jesus' disciples followed his lead, his example, and they spoke the same kind of healing commands, and they're revealed in Acts, in the book of Acts, throughout the book of Acts. Acts 3 and 6 is an initial one in the healing of the crippled man at the gate, Beautiful, who's been there day in and day out. He's got no means of support, but asking people to give him something so he can buy his food for the day. Then Peter looks at this man and says, silver and gold I do not have, because the man was asking him for coins. He was asking him for something that would benefit him in some way, because he couldn't go out and earn a living. And he says, we don't have any silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the next verse, it says, Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. There was a miracle, again, a jaw dropper, because he listened to the word of God, not looking only at the circumstances. We can see that healing commands were not limited to Jesus, but his apostles had that power and authority as well, and so do you. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with my Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's a promise of his word. That's a commitment he's made to us when we stand on his word. Command your condition to comply with the word of God. Speak to your condition to obey the word of God. Amen? The commands and the confessions of God's word spoken over a period of time serve as preventative medication. I think it's wise to make sure that we are properly taking good care of ourselves, right? In every possible way. That our immune systems are strong, that the kinds of foods we eat strengthen us, that the kind of rest we need, we take, right? Those are important matters in our system and how it functions. But I think it's equally important to build ourselves up in the faith. So every morning, we break bread, we drink the cup, and we believe God for his great protection and his strength to surround us, and the covenant that we're living in is preventative medication. Amen? We speak directly by faith. We can keep illness back on its heels. And simultaneously, let's remember to keep ourselves sin-free. Because we all sin, and we need to get it out of us the minute the Holy Spirit reminds us, that didn't please me. We can't just blow that off. We've got to make it right on the spot. Because if we stay sin-free, we're acting in proactive ways to keep ourselves well in the presence of God. Keep yourself sin-free. A number of pastors won't even use the word sin in their pulpits any longer. Because they don't want anybody to get offended. Nobody wants to hear the fact that they've sinned. We've all sinned. So let's stop playing word games with people. And we need to acknowledge the fact that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen? And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When we confess them, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, sin is the reason the church, our communities, our states, our nation is in the condition it's in today because of sin. Because of sin, we have gone down in the wrong direction. And repentance must begin in the house of the Lord first, the scripture says. So the word of God in the book of Acts goes on to say that the crippled man began walking from the gate beautiful and leaping. I mean, not only here's a guy who's never walked, but now he's walking. He's got no muscle tone, but now he does instantaneously, and he's walking. He's able to stand perfectly well. And he's what else is he doing? He's leaping. Wow, some of you would be good to just express that in the Lord sometimes. Leap and shout and thank God. And giving praise to God, he received his miracle by believing the word that was spoken to him, the word of God, to get up. Amen? You can stand and you can have wholeness again because God wants that for your life. Of course, he goes into the temple. Now he's totally wild in his expressions of praise and thanksgiving, and he's got the whole place up for grabs, and nobody can figure out what in the world happened to this guy. We know this guy. How's he doing this, right? God desires his people to put their faith into action. He will ask us to do unusual things, like stretching out our hand to believe by faith so we see restoration, taking up our bed and walking into a normal, productive life again, rising up and walking so we receive total healing and breakthrough. So why? So others can observe and witness the power of God and believe that their own needs can be met as well. Because God's not just interested in one of us, he's interested in all of us. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God's word makes it clear. Confession of sin is imperative to receiving healing. James 5 and 16 reveals that confessing sin while praying for one another brings healing. It brings restoration. It helps us. And when we are honest with God and honest with our brothers and sisters, listen, we must know that the prayer of a righteous person is effective and powerful and brings results. In our walk with Jesus, confession and forgiveness is an integral part of receiving healing and breakthrough through the word of the living God. Confessing our faults, offenses, and sins to others as believers brings healing, restoration through the act of prayer by faith. We can never receive the blessing and healing by rejecting what the Word of God reveals concerning healing. And when God is pinpointing something, we need to confess it before him. When God is showing us truth, we need to express that truth and our faith in it. Can sin be one of the reasons for sickness and disease? Sure. Yes. Some churches teach that the reason people are sick is because in every case, wherever there's any sickness, there's been sin. Some churches teach that. That's the way they believe. The misconception doesn't align itself with the Word of God concerning healing. Sin doesn't prevent healing to take place in our lives. Unbelief does. See, we must base our belief systems on God's word, not on preconceived ideas. There is evidence throughout the Old Testament that some sickness is related to sin directly. Jesus was around sinners, and he touched and healed and communicated with them, which offended the religious leadership of the day because their mindset was, these are bad people. I believe that confessing our sins and faults to one another, according to the scriptures, brings healing, brings health. In John 5 and 14, Jesus healed and delivered a person, then told the person, now go and don't sin any longer. Jesus healed him while sin had still been exhibited in his life. Then Jesus says to him, now do not continue doing what you've been doing. Jesus has been given power in heaven and on earth to heal the sick and to forgive the sins. Amen? He heals the sick, and he forgives our sins. James 5 and 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Thank the Lord right there. Praise God for that right there. Thank you, Jesus, for your promise right there. Let me clarify. Sickness originated from sin. Originated. It's important that we know what God's word says. And we can't continue being ignorant of God's truth. In Matthew 22, 29, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God, Jesus told some of the religious leaders. Now, these people knew the Old Testament Torah backwards and forwards, but he tells them, you don't get it. You know, you may memorize it, but you don't get it. Not knowing what God's word says concerning healing hinders or prevents people from receiving healing or deliverance or breakthroughs or miracles, but sickness is not always due directly to some sin in a person's life. In John's gospel, Jesus is dealing with the situation of a man born blind. His disciples ask Jesus, hey, is his blindness as a result of his parents' sin or his own sin? Because they were equating the fact that this man was born in this condition because someone did the wrong thing. His disciples said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And during the first century, many people connected all sickness to sin. We understand from the origin of sin in the scriptures that all sickness originated from sin because of our fallen condition. In essence, is due to evil being unleashed on this planet. It all originated in Satan's deception in the garden, in that core of expression of sin and the darkness of it that popped out. Sickness and evil were not in God's original plan, purpose, and intent for the Lord or his word. Jesus addressed his disciples' inquiry about the blind man. Listen, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Jesus declared that the purpose of this man's blindness was not sin, but an opportunity for God to manifest his power through a supernatural intervention to bring glory to his name and to reveal his power over what the enemy has done. Jesus broke that mindset off his disciples, a mindset that has its foundation in superstition and pride and self-righteousness and ignorance of Scripture. And Jesus counteracted their religious perception with truth. He said, this is the truth. The blindness was not the result of sin, nor did it come from God. God sent Jesus to destroy the works of the devil, and sickness is included. The works of God's love manifested in the man's blindness, and the man was given sight, which was all an evil condition and needed the power of God to reverse it. Sickness is not always due to sin in an individual's life. Many factors can cause people to get sick. Diseased, crippled, accidents, damaged genetics can be a source. Predisposition to certain diseases, depressed immune systems. Blindness in this man was a work of the evil one that needed to be crushed by Jesus. Now, confess by releasing. Romans 10 and 9. The word confess is the Greek word homologio, which means to speak the same thing, to assent, accord, agree with. It means to confess by way of admitting self-guilt of what one is accused of, the result of inward conviction. So when we confess, we are declaring, opening the way, speaking out freely so God can address the condition of our heart. Confession with prayer done openly and verbally is important to God, and it's important for us. Prayer not only changes everything, it also changes everything about us. Confession releases guilt, shame, condemnation. I've watched that happen in the lives of people who are walking under a cloud of darkness and things that have happened in their past, gone years gone by, decades have gone by, and still live under this cloud of shame and guilt. But once they begin to confess and say, this is what happened, these were the conditions, and then forgiveness and the authority that we have in Jesus to pronounce, because you've confessed, God calls you forgiven. We can say that over people and watch the expressions. It's like lights come on, bulbs light up, and all of a sudden the burden gets lifted and the realization happens as a result of confessing the truth of what God's principles are, that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them, right? And that burden lifts and all of a sudden our countenance changes, because all of a sudden we are free. We are indeed free. Confessing what the Bible declares has to come from knowing what it says, understanding what it says, coming into agreement with the truth of God's word. A person only confesses what he or she believes in their heart. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Boy, that's a concise, powerful statement, isn't it? I mean, it just nails it. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, because we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I mean, the switch is flipped. The Word of God is the final authority in the life of the follower of Jesus. The very fact that we're born again tonight and we have salvation is because we accepted Jesus into our lives, believed that he lived, died on a cross, was resurrected, ascended to heaven on our behalf. By confessing, we were once living in alienation from him and asking him now not only to forgive us, but to be Lord over our lives is the best decision we'll ever have made in our lives. Confession led to salvation. To confess and to believe means we come into full alignment and covenant agreement with the word of the living God. And the enemy knows the power of confession. He understands that. Our judicial system understands the power of confession. The devil fights against the believer from confessing consistently and persistently the word of God. Last thing the devil wants to hear out of your heart through your mouth is you speaking the word of God, because the devil recognizes the power of when we confess the living word of God. And once we comprehend where sickness and obstacles have originated from, we can understand why we've been given power to get rid of it. God's word discloses that sickness and death originated with sin. Now we have been expanding by Satan into this culture and disseminating all kinds of sin and corruption and evil doing. Listen, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. There it spells it all out for everybody to see. You talk about COVID being contagious. Sin is the most contagious disease ever released on this planet. It's affected everybody and infected everybody, right? Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, afflicting him, doing to him because of sin corrupting our lifestyles. And all who were oppressed by the devil, Jesus healed. So Jesus steps in on the scene. And he countermands the infection. He's the vaccine. He's the one who makes us strong enough to throw off and shed away all the viral ingredients that want to infect us. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing some who were... Is that what it says? What's the word there? Let me back up. Read it again. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus said in John 5:14, see, you have been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So once we've been inoculated, he warns us, don't go opening yourself up to this disease of sin again. Don't go playing with it, because it will reinfect you. Go and sin no more. You'll get worse than you were. After Jesus heals those who are oppressed by the devil, he instructs them, don't go back to that slop, lest a worse thing come on you. Only when sin is removed and totally out of you, the human race, will there be no sickness forever. And that's in the book of Revelation, 21st chapter. The Word of God teaches us that forgiveness of sins and healing of the body go together like a hand and a glove. They're both contained in the covenant of the gospel. In the sacrifice of atonement, not only are we forgiven, but we are also healed. I believe that healing is just as easy to obtain as forgiveness for sins. Christ took our sicknesses and pain so that we might be healed. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And just as we confess our sins in order to be healed inwardly, we need to confess the Word of God that brings healing to our physical bodies. Fill yourself with the living Word of God. Amen? Fill yourself with the living Word of God. So no matter what we're going through, Jesus Christ paid the price for us to be completely free, to be completely healed, amen, and joyful. You know, you asked the question this morning, I will be happy when? You know, I thought about that for a couple of seconds. You want to hear what my answer is? I am happy. I think myself happy because I know who I am in Christ. That makes me happy, right? And joyful. Where's the joy among the people of God? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? There should be joy unspeakable and full of glory in the house of God. As believers in Christ, there's not a single bit of emotional upset or instability that we have to put up with and let it overwhelm us and dominate us. We should be free indeed. So it doesn't matter how we've been hurt or how someone's placed a medical label on us for some condition that we have. Doesn't matter how long we have felt like we feel. Doesn't matter how easy it is to fall back into certain patterns. Even though we've done that time and again, we thank God we have an advocate. The simple fact is Jesus Christ paid the price for us to be free from everything that brings us pain. And he completely stabilizes our emotions if we ask him at his table to heal us. Heal us, Lord. We need to be whole again. That's what this table means, right? So when I get desperate enough, and I've pondered this question since mid-March, what's it going to take to get the church desperate enough? And every time I think, well, that ought to trigger it, right? People ought to be streaming in like crazy because they're desperate. What's it going to take? When I get desperate enough, then I fall on my knees before my Father and say, Daddy, help me. Help me. Hide me under your wings. Keep me stable. Keep me fixed. Let me quote it to you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Praise God. That means we're safe. And Daddy, help me to not be so anxious about everything. Make mountains out of molehills. And here's the, help my request to be made known. Listen to how it, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God for peace that passes all understanding when everybody around us is like wobbling in the storm. And then ask God to manifest his kingdom. Say, your kingdom come, your will be done. That you would manifest your kingdom in my life. I'm a part of your kingdom. I'm a child of the King. Fill me with your righteousness. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow, with peace, joy in the Spirit. Fill me with your power. Help me to obey you in everything. Now listen to this. Help me to obey you in everything as soon as you speak the word. Just like the angels obey you in heaven, the moment you speak the word. Lesson to be learned there. God has told us things specifically. They're written in the pages of this book. And sometimes months and years go by and still not practiced. My heavenly Father has far more invested in me than my earthly father. But one thing my daddy did teach me about life was this. When I'm asking you to get up and go do something, I don't mean when you feel like it. I mean now. Now, when I was a kid, I thought, whoa, that's pretty tough. You know what I think now? I'm glad I started to learn that early because it helps me to learn that better now than when my daddy says to me, this is what I want you to do. I don't sit there and think, well, I don't know if I feel like doing that right now. Or I don't think I like that idea that you're asking of me right now. Let's have a debate about this right now. Well, I can procrastinate all I want. Guess who the loser is? Me. But like the angels in heaven obey him the moment he commands. When Father speaks to us, we should be willing to obey him immediately. Amen? Immediately, and do what he's asked us to do. And then there's one more thing I want to say before we close and get ready for communion. If you harbor unforgiveness, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, you're going to stall the moment for health to return. If you refuse to obey him when he speaks, you're just going to stall the moment. But if you are quick to obey him, immediate, there's something about that with God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that immediately gets their attention. When they see we have immediate compliance, when there's correction, self-adjustment, when he says, that needs to stop. That needs to stop? Yes, sir. We'll work every way we can to stop it because I know it doesn't please you. Those are the things when he sees that in our hearts, that's faith to him. That's not just obedience. It's faith that says, I trust you absolutely and completely. I trust what you say. That if I do this, I'll be a winner, not a loser. I'll be benefited by it. It won't cost me to do this, except maybe the surrender of my self-will and pride. It says, I think I know better than you. Or I think I can be doing this when I get around to it. Maybe someday. Why not right now? Let's get ourselves in line. He'll release whatever we need the moment we get in alignment. That's how that works. And if I know His word and I live His word and I obey His word, there's going to be miracles manifested in my life everywhere I go. Amen? So let's stand together. Let's get ready for the table of the Lord. It's just as easy to be healed when we fill ourselves with the power of the living word of God. Lift your hands and give thanks to God right now. Why don't you do that? And thank Him for His healing. Not only forgiveness, but health and strength and healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy to us. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Let's take a few moments and love Him.